Welcome, dear listeners. Joe here, bringing you another vlogging podcast. As you can tell, these vlogging podcasts can be found on the YouTube channel. And if you want to see this vlog in its entirety with pictures, then head on over to the YouTube channel, Devon Dice UK, and you'll be able to watch it there as well. The description is in the link below. Also, do not fear, there is another podcast in the plans, in the works, coming very soon. So if you've missed us in these last few months, don't fear. I'm hopefully going to get the boys back together and we're going to put out another podcast that you can enjoy too. Hello, my name is Joel Wright, and these are my vlogs. This is where I like to hear my own voice and talk about my board gaming experiences of the month just past. In other words, this is where I like to talk about what board games have been hitting my table, not my new one, still the old one, and what have I brought, backed, and kicked out of my collection, plus maybe other stuff this month. April has been a bit lacking for me this month because basically I call it a painting month. For many reasons, it's been a painting month. To start off with, I did receive my copy of Canvas from Kickstarter and instantly opened it, played it, and it was quite good fun. I do feel it's actually a very simple game, and actually it suffers with two players, because that's all I played it with at the minute. As a two-player game, it suffers for that lack of being able to refresh the market row to be able to like have more options to purchase from. In two-player, you're kind of just lacking with, like, you can only draw what is in the market. I feel this game could be really good, and it might need some rules, house ruling, to be added onto it to make it a really, really good game. I really like the ingenuity, the aspect of these transparent cards where you can slide them in and you build up a picture and you create this kind of new artwork each time. There's lots of different variations to it. Very clever system, very well done. It's just lacking, I kind of feel it lacked a little bit of game testing from the beginning. That's one kind of painting to do. I've also been doing a lot of miniature painting. I've been painting my Marvel stuff, the Corset and the Spider-Man stuff, but that's also taken a back seat because I've been painting three other games, and I've been painting Mice and Mystics, Stuff Fables, and Tang Garden, and mainly I've been painting those to finish off those figures because I've got almost complete on them and stopped, because that's what you do when you miniature paint. But now I want to sell these games, and I feel that I personally need to finish them off so I can maybe add a little bit more value to the game, but not just make it a little bit more sellable in the future. So I've been focusing on getting those so I can sell off. Not only that, I'm selling off games because we're moving house. And when I implemented last week that I was in the processes of moving, what I meant was I'm in the processes of preparing to move, because we've been painting our house quite ferociously to get it up to a decent standard, and because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, I kind of don't want to leave it. Even though in this kind of market we're in at the minute, I could probably just sell my house as it is and still get a good price. But I kind of needed to touch up a few things. So we've been painting the house, and that's why our gaming has been a bit lacking this month. I mean, more or less, not like Canvas and My City, which we have played this month. That's about it physically between me and my family. So I forgot about playing Red Rising with a wife, two player. Went very well. Be very interested to play it with more players and see how that does. And then, of course, been playing a lot of Marvel's United with a boy and mum, and we had our asses handed to us by the Red Skull. So, yes, that was fun as well.
I did sit down with my party, my crew, my best buds, the best party ever, and have another gaming session on the Saturday, middle of this month. And because we had finished Forgotten Waters, yes, there was a new expansion out for that, but I've got rid of it already. And King's Dilemma, we were a bit lost of what we could play kind of in physical terms. So we ended up playing like a whole day of like Roll and Rights. So we played Cartographers, great game, really love it. And it was kind of fun. We got a little bit all wrong because of the ambushing cards, because Sarah, who owns the game, never plays with that. And afterwards she said never playing with it again. She kind of just likes it without the ambushing cards, but I like it with the ambushing cards. It adds a little bit of element, kind of just upsets the balance a bit, I think, just enough. We then played Roll Estate. Now, Roll Estate is another great game. It's a kind of one of these cross Monopoly roll and write games. It's great, it's easy, and yeah, everyone enjoyed it. And then we finished off the night by playing a pinball arcade game. I've forgotten the real name of it now, but it's a pinball arcade game. That didn't go down too well. It's very complex. You kind of need your sheets to be laminated, or you need the real thing, whether it be like the whiteboard kind of sheets, because there's a lot of rubbing out that needs to be done. And there's also the process of player elimination, that once you've used up your three balls as normal in pinballing, you're kind of sitting there watching other people continuously roll and get good scores. I actually ended up with a very high score and got pimped. I think just towards the end, because I lost all my balls and then I was watching the others just progress, and I think I got pipped at the very end. I have to check my sheet again, I've still got it.
A few moments later.
No. So yeah, and kind of got pipped because I ran out of balls, and they were still continuously on. So wasn't the best of game to finish up on, but we still had a great day anyway. And hopefully, not this month, but in June, we're going to finally meet up and be back around the same table and playing games that we left over from before this pandemic ended. So really look forward to that. And that is really my month for gaming. Apart from Board Game Arena, smash that out, and I'll give you another top five of my games I've been playing on Board Game Arena for this month in a minute. What I received through the door, only what I received for door, so I received Canvas, and I also received Tiny Epic Pirates. That was a lot of game in one tiny box, and it feels like, is it actually outdoing its kind of box sizing? Because now I'm going to struggle to get everything into that box, because I also got the little expansion that comes on the side. So I don't know, this is getting a bit too much. I didn't back the last one because I didn't want another dungeon crawl co-op game. So I'm quite glad I haven't gone all in on those. I don't know. I'll see what else comes out. But for now, that's all I've got through the door. I don't think I've got anything else through the door yet. I've got a couple of things on the way. So I did receive some feedback from my last video I did, and feedback's very interesting. I had feedback from Nick M. He said that he really likes the show, it helps him get off to sleep at night, and can he produce one every night, every day for me? No, but I'm so glad it does help you go to sleep. It is an honour that I am some kind of insomniac's cure to this. I also received feedback and basic mockery from my mate Lewis of how I pronounce acetate. I probably announced it cellotate, but it's acetate, and it's here later on. Dive is actually quite a cool aspect of the game, where it's a big thick, like, how many sheets was it? Something like 50 odd clear plastic sheets with detail writing. It looks like, now I'm showing my age here, when I was in school we used to have overhead projectors and we used to have cellotate sheets
where the teacher would put these sheets on this screen and it will reflect up through the screen onto a board on there. So mocks me. Also, he mocked me with lots of other things, but he also did point out there were some kind of audio level differences. Now, I am using the very basic editing software that comes with the Mac, and sometimes it's really difficult to get the right balance in audio. I will try and do my best in this next one, but sometimes I can't help it. So I do apologize if there was some kind of jump scares where the audio was up and down quite erratically. I'll try and improve that for next time. So what we're going to go to is what's on my shelf next, which actually you can see some of it behind me. So we're going to go to that next. Hello, welcome back to what's on my shelf section of this video. This is basically another look at what's on my Canuck shelves, but again, that's a look at another kind of random selection, random cluster of games. I've like suddenly realised that I've got somewhere within the house, but this lot is not usually in the house. This lot is usually in a duffel bag in my car that I like to carry around with me just in case something comes up where there's a point, oh, let's play a game. And admittedly, over the last year, that's not been the case because I've more or less forgotten about these games being in my car, and I actually own them, and I'm actually quite surprised because now looking at some of these games, it's like, do I really need this? Shall I sell it? But then I'm going to struggle because if you notice, like on this one and even String Railways, it's very quite tattered corners because yes, they're kept in the box. So let's go through them quickly again. Point Salad is an excellent simple game of collecting types of cards with a very clever, I'd say, mechanic of twisting the scoring situation to your advantage, which I quite enjoy. We definitely will be staying. Gone Shone Clever, a good game, but now I can play it on like a on tabletop or on a browser or something like that. I don't know. I suppose it will stay. It's just dice at the end of the day with a pad of paper. So, yes, it's not going to really go anywhere. It's so cheap. Codenames is a game that will definitely stay in the collection because it is one of those great games you can bring out with anyone when there's a big group of you. And, yeah, and it's very tatty. So I'm definitely not going to be able to get rid of that. Timeline is another example. Yes, I've already done a timeline, but I did wonder where this one was. So this is Timeline Inventions. And this is a another one in the same genre as a timeline, but all about inventions and what period they were made. Bang the Dice game, great semi-deduction game with that dice rolling element, very good in groups of people. String Railways might be one of those that I have to consider getting rid of, but I believe it's very hard to get hold of nowadays. Also, I really struggle to try and remember the rules of this and how it works with the string, so it doesn't come out quite often. I really need to find some way of trying to get the rules down and possible. Gorus Maximus is a trick-taking game that took a while to get the rules right, and actually because of that some people hate it and it barely comes out, but I have played it properly to the rules and actually a very good game. Nothing ingenious about it, but still it's a good game nevertheless. Celestria is that great push your luck card game of wherever you're going to stay in this hot balloon, kind of hot air balloon thing that's traveling from floating island to floating island, or wherever you're going to jump out before it crashes. And yeah, great, up to six players, awesome. And it's also got the expansion in there, I know that. Shards of Infinity is a nice little deck building game that you can bring out with one or two to four people. It's a great little two-player game where you're basically competing over and like whittling people's health down before the and trying to defeat them that way. Pit Crew, now that I haven't played this for a very long time, it was very good in a way. It takes a while for the rules to be explained if you don't know how to play, but and you're kind of what you're trying to do, but it actually is quite clever in a way it is designed. Possibly will stay around. And then
Pinball Showdown is another card game where you're trying to score a point, a bit like in a pinball, but it's a card game. Again, it's not been played for a while. And I actually picked this one up at Essen, so it came with a few bonuses. And yeah, you're trying to collect cards together to score good points, like any card game. And again, it's really hard to come across this game. So again, it might just have to stay because of its purpose of, would I be able to find it again in that life? And then, I definitely remember this one, because this one still travels around with me quite a bit. And this is the Quiver, my Quiver bag, I bought years and years ago. It's a bit tatty, this. Yeah, it's been used quite a bit. But anyway, so these have got my favourite mini games in it that definitely would get out and buy. So, in this left-hand side is Hoshing, which is here. Honshing, whatever. Little card game where you're crossing cards over to make land and gain resources and then produce the resources into goods and things like that. So quite a little clever, nice aspect to it. So yeah, Game of Trains is this one. Right, another card game. Well, they're all card games, aren't they? But another simple family card game that's actually quite easy to pick up. Once you get to knack of understanding the symbols. We got Rhino Hero, the first one. It's just the simple building a tower of cards and putting the rhino up high. I think he's around here somewhere. Not sure where he is, actually. I believe he should be here somewhere, unless I've moved him somewhere. Uh-oh. But anyway, so they've got these are for Hongxing. And these pieces are actually for... Not that one. Here. This game. You can't tell from the back of that. But this one is another deck building game. And it is... Bloody hell, I've forgotten what it's called now. Oh yeah, Temp Worker Assassins. Which is the only card game in here. I'm going to have to find it. With me in it. Yay! So yeah, that's meant to be me. I am a stone golem, basically. So I'm a full Hosiah. I paid extra to have my face in the game. That was the first of two games that I paid for. And that is the only game I've got so far that has my face in it. I doubt the other one will ever show its face in this world at this rate. Kane and Lacuna. Kuhn and Lacuna. I never know how to say that. Is another kind of deck building game, control element kind of game. It's really unique. I really like it. And I should do a review on it because there is aspects I like on it. And that's why it stayed in it. It's only two player. Another push your luck game. Dead Man's Draw. Right, here's simple card game, and I really, really like that. It's the simplicity of it. I've taken a few elements out of it to make it better, but it is one of my favourite card games. Now, in here, so these cards actually are for Kane and Larka. They're just markers. And then this one is Cobra something. I can't actually remember what it's Cobra Kun or something like that. Ah, it's just put disc out and try and draft. I can't remember, but me and the family played it loads when we were on holiday one time and until we got sick of it. So they probably won't stay. Deep Sea Adventure. This is a great little push your luck card game, and this is like one of the first originals. When I got introduced to it, I went to go and buy a copy in the UK, and it was going to cost me like 40 odd quid to buy in the UK already, and then I had a chance to buy it from overseas for about 20 odd quid, which was better than what they were expecting to buy. And the last one in here is another push your luck game, Port Royale. That's what it's called. So that's what's in that case. So so yeah, that's what I kind of keep in my car just in case we
come up with anything. And yes, I didn't find Rhino Hero anywhere in here. So, okay, starting with my next set of Kallax shells. So this is the third section, or fourth, if you want to count the drawers at the bottom. But this is the third in the main board game shelving unit. Okay, so this is going to go along left to right and show you what. So Takenoko, love this game, great game. And then they've got the second edition just come out. So I don't know if I picked that up or just use this still. But this one does have the Chibi expansion in it. And it's still got the insert. I've actually cleverly inserted it all in. So this is kind of, I'm trying to make it a bit kind of thematic with the Pirates Together. So Jamaica with the crew expansion. Great game, love it. Won't get rid of that, never get rid of that. Black Fleet, another pirate game. Really simple game, really weird things going on. It gets out of hand a bit, but it's simple. Pick up and deliver, or like pirate other people's ships, because you control two ships. And actually, all my ships are painted, and I've got metal coins in it, and I've probably really souped it up. So yeah. It's a great little game. Again, another one that won't leave. Drop It. I love this game for its simplicity and its kind of like Connect Four, Kaplunk kind of aspect of where you're trying to drop pieces down and not make them touch other pieces and score as many points as possible with the weird different shapes you got. This one, this box is wrecked because it's traveled so much for me. So definitely able to get rid of that, but I don't think I will anyway, because I don't know if I can get hold of it anymore. Can't get it back in. And then last of all, MD Rush, which is actually a really packed full game, or Rush MD, really packed full. I think it's, I need to shake it about to get it to go back together. So that actually replaced Kitchen Rush for me. I like Kitchen Rust, but it was so much hard work, literally, to try and do something. You never thought you'd get anywhere, where Rush MD seems to have streamlined things a bit better, and you've got less things to worry about, but more going on, and it kind of feels like it. And it actually worked really well with a wife who's a nurse and shouldn't like things about her job, but she does for some stupid reason. Okay, so this shelf is stacked like this for some reason. I don't know why. I move it around and stack it in different ways. Survivor Escape from Atlantis is actually one of the oldest games, maybe previewed so far. No, because Small World is older than that for me, for in my collection. But Survivor Escape from Atlantis was one of the first games, basically because I brought this for my daughter when we were getting into board gaming. Because I thought it worked really well, and it does. We played it quite a lot. It's got all the expansions in it. It is the silly kind of meeple one, not the plastic figurines that people like. Downforce, great racing game where you're actually kind of betting and champion races instead of owning a team that, well, you are owning teams, but it's best to champion who you think is going to win instead. And I've got most of the expansions. I think there's one missing. Not got around to getting it yet. Ticket to Ride. This is the 15th edition, 15th anniversary edition, which I actually won from Days of Wonder in a Facebook kind of competition thing. Because I don't know if this actually ever got released. I never saw it in the shops. So this might be a genuine, I might be wrong. But I've never seen this come up in shops, and I see people asking all the time, when can they get hold of it? I mean, there's no difference with it. The difference is it's got a sleeve cover to protect it, and it's also got translucent trains, but it hasn't got any expansions in it, and it hasn't got, and it does come with like a pamphlet of the backstory of how Ticket to Ride came along. And then I've also, and it won't be here because it's been packed away with a lot of other games, is I've got the 10th anniversary one as well. So definitely Ticket to Ride Europe 15th anniversary is on pre-order with Meeple's Corner, so hopefully that will arrive soon. Marbles Champion is a great thematic card game
that I enjoy, and I play solo when I get chance or when I remember. I haven't played it a lot, and that's mainly because I am playing too much PlayStation 4 Warzone, really, too much. So Roco, okay, this is the old version. Yes, I've still got the new version. I don't know why I'm keeping it really. It got taken out of the storage pile and it's got a big pack on the back on the shelf, but it's there. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with it at the minute. I might sell it, I might keep hold of it. My City, great game. With it being a family, I love playing this. We're nearly finished, so hopefully that'll be finished very soon. Riff Raff, great dexterity game, massive components, really fun to play with any type of people. And then Lost Ruins of Anak, I think it's Anak, but played this a couple of times actually. Really enjoy it as a two-player game. Really like the components, really like the mechanics on it. So it is staying at the back of here. Actually, I've got a escape rooms puzzle book that I got for Christmas 1 year, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll use that. I'll take that on holiday with me when I'm bored and sitting around. And yeah, COVID happened, so I'm not being anywhere to use it. And then here I've got, actually, these are the cardboard sleeves of Blood Rage, because they wouldn't fit in the box. And this are spare board of Clank. And last of all, if people can't realise by this, is my Clank shelf. I think it's pretty much the Clank shelf. Now I'm going to have to move stuff away. So yes, I've got two lots of the Clank Legacy components here, because basically I've got two copies. I've got one that we started last year, way before the pandemic, with Lewis, and never got around to completing. And so I decided to buy a brand new copy because it was on offer at Meeple's Corner. So this is the brand new copy, which I'm hoping to play two-player with a wife and get back into it, because I really want to play it. I've got both Acquisitions Incorporated team packs, so the upper management pack and the Team C pack, or C team pack. I've painted these ones, but I will get around to painting these. And then at the back, Stanley Clank with most of the expansion. I think it's all the expansions are in that. I might be wrong. I might have taken some out. So most of it is in there. Steam Park. This wonderful game. Really love it. There's a bit of a quick dice rolling mechanic at the beginning of trying to select your actions. And then there's like a kind of worker placement with robots around your theme park trying to score your points. So yeah, I'm sad I missed out on getting the expansion to this and keep trying to track it down. But slightly out of print. The Crania Creations went out of business. Well, they didn't go out of business, they separated and went their own ways. So I don't know who of the two own the rights to Steam Park. But I do hope one day that they bring it out again, because it is an awesome game. Clank Adventuring Party, this ain't Adventuring Party, that's all in here. This is basically one of the expansions I've removed to make space for here. And so the cards and the board are in here at the present minute. At the top of here we've got... Oh yeah, so I've taken out some. So this is one board. This is the mummy board. Cursed mummy board or something like that. And this one. This is the water board. Underwater Adventures or something like that. I can't remember now. So yeah, I took those two boards out. So it makes me wonder what I left in there now. Must be the original board. Oh yeah, it's the original board. And then it must be another, I believe there's another board. And then I've got the so separate boards that brought out. The one with a monkey temple on. And then there was another one that came out. The gold mining one and the web one. So they're definitely in there. And then that's just Chronicles of Crime, which actually I don't have. Lewis has still got that. And he's moved away. I need to get hold of him and get them back. So... Maybe it's on that. This,
So yeah, that's basically another lot of my gaming shelf. And yeah, this is my favourite shelf. Along with that, look at that, is that favourite shelf. So I've got two shelves that are kind of purely taken up with more or less one game. If you count, it is kind of one game. Anyway, so that's it. That is my shelf in review for this month.
I'm not going to do any news this week because I can't be asked to find any. And I've got so much to do that I'm just going to skip news. I don't even remember anything special coming out, so we're going to skip that altogether. My top five in Board Game Arena that I've been playing quite regularly. Okay. So number five, now this is a bit of a cheat because I actually own the game, and but I've enjoyed playing it and I'm teaching it to others online at the minute, and that's Lost Ruins of Arnak. Now the implementation is quite good. Lost Ruins of Arnak is really quite, once you know the rules or if someone teaches it, it's quite easy because it's quite very straightforward. But there is an issue that trying to teach it on Board Game Arena, you can't demonstrate it enough to get into it, and in the end I had to say, let's play and I'll walk you through steps you want to do. Okay, and that's how it works. And actually after the second round they all got it and they all enjoyed it, and I am enjoying it quite well too. There is a little bit of a faff that if you don't de-click something on Board Game Arena, it automatically moves on to the next turn once you've done your main action, and that actually scuppered me in a turn where I actually clicked an area and then, oh no, I'm going to click a card to play that, and actually played the card to go to that area, and it screwed my whole game up. And so if you click off that option and you have to manually select confirm your action, that would help. So that's probably a thing to look out for. Number four is Small Islands. Now this is kind of a Carcassonne type kind of game. It's very quite clever where you're building this map of lots of little islands, archipelago kind of islands, and they've got lots of symbols on it and you can add symbols to it. And what you're trying to do is you draft these cards and you've got a card that you want to help you put houses on, and then also at the bottom of that card is how you will score. And then you also draft a card for a reserve. So you're kind of planning your strategy, and you're basically trying to put these islands together to meet the requirement on your card to be able to put a house on there. And once the house is on there, you can then score the points on that card. Very quite clever, very simple, but can be very, there's a lot of strategy to it. So I quite like that. It's very, very nice game, and I bet it looked very nice on the table too. Q-Birds is another kind of game I'm just playing just to, like, I'm still trying to get my head around it somehow, but it's like the opposite of Potion Explosion, where you're trying to put, it's like, it's a kind of form of, it's a card game with birds lined up on, like, the telephone cables hanging up, and you're trying to put birds where they surround other birds inside, and you collect all those birds. So if I've got like a flamingo, let's say, that's on one side of all these birds, and I've got a flamingo in hand, I can put that out flamingo on the other side of these birds, and I collect everything inside the two flamingos. And then if I have a big group of birds in my hand, I can then send them home. I think that's the terminology. Basically, I keep one and I put the rest in the discard pile, and you score up your points with the cards you've got in your saved area. So it's the opposite of Potion Explosion, where you're trying to surround groups of stuff
and bring them into your hand. So it's actually quite clever. I'm still trying to get my head around the strategy of it, because I don't seem to do very well. But then I don't seem to do very well in all games, except for Skull. I smash people at Skull, and Skull's another great implementation on Board Game Arena. So number two is Draftosaurus, where it's this game of drafting wooden dinosaur meeples and putting them into your park. You're basically creating a very small version of Jurassic Park. I think you also, in the physical game, roll a dice and it tells you where you can place these dinosaurs, so you can't just place them anywhere. And there's a very good kind of grouping strategy to it, so there'll be one section that you can only have all the same dinosaurs in, and the more you have, the more points you gain. In another section, you can only have dinosaurs where they're all different, so you've got to try and weigh that up of where you're putting them. There's one section, every two dinosaurs scores you points, basically mating. And then there's like one section where there's like three dinosaurs just gives you 7 points, another three, seven dinosaurs give you 3 points. So there's an option to clump them in there. And then there's like places where you can put them to get 1 point. Place, if you've got no, if you put a dinosaur in this pen and you've got no overs in your park, then you score quite a lot of points. Or if you put it into this pen and you've got the most of that dinosaur in your park, then at other players you score more points. So there's actually quite a lot of strategy to it and how you do it. And you can actually screw other people over by just draft hating on them. But again, it's actually really quite clever. Simple, and it looks simple, but there's lots of hidden strategy behind it. And I quite enjoy playing it. Now, my number one game is very, very surprised, because I didn't think I'd like this, but I really do like it. And it's called Never Delilah. It's basically a draft, another kind of drafting game, but you're kind of bidding to get draft order in this game. So depends how many people playing, but they could be three rounds twice or four rounds twice. And you're basically got these three coins, and you always start with 0, 2, 3, 4, 5 coins. And then you put these coins onto three rows of markets. And depending if you bid the highest, depends if you get pick from these cards, and they're all kind of dwarfs. And depending if you bid the highest, you get to pick first. Now you're aiming to pick. So there's five types of dwarf you can buy. And they all do different things of how they score. Some of them just basic how many you got. Just depends on how many score. And it's quite simple that you put them down this ladder chart, and it points at how many points it's earning you for the end of the game. There could be somewhere depending on the average score you've got of that colour and how many cards you got times is it. And then some of it can be worked out the highest score, the highest ranking, and depending how many you got of it scores. It's a bit complex, but actually quite simple when you see it on the player mat. Now, if you collect a set of all five colours, you get to pick from some heroes or leaders. I think they are heroes. And they're like really overpowered kind of extra helps. A lot of them are to do with the colours, so you can actually use them to boost them up, which is quite handy. Or some of them are actually these grey heroes that are really quite strong. So there's actually a collectible set of brothers. If you collect all four or five of these brothers, they score you huge points at the end of the game. But they're really difficult to get hold of, because you've got to try and get five sets of the colours to aim for that. And then also if you there's like a couple others that like really are quite, there's one really overpowered one that if I own this game I might look to take this card out, because basically if you get this hero, it lets you see what other people bid in previous rounds, let you bid in the current round, so you can outbid them with this card. So say if two other people have bid a 5 and a 7, I've got a 9 coin, then it allows you to like put that 9 coin in. And saying that, also I have to say The other cool thing is this zero coin has a special property. When you play it, and if you play it, your two coins are left over that you haven't played, because you always have two coins left over, get added together, and that value, you take a coin from a market selection of that same value or higher, if it isn't there, and it replaces your highest coin you've got in your stack. So you can build up your coin values, and these are points at the end of the game as well. So it helps you to outbid your opponents and get great power. And there's all sorts of things in this that help build up these your coin values. And it's just a great game. Once you get your head around the strategy, and once you get your... because there's a mid-game kind of sum up of who's got the most of what colour, gets you extra bonuses. So there's also that to aim for mid-game. So it's just really quite clever, and I really... actually really do like playing it, that I will say, yeah, I'll play that. Let's have a go at that. Mining Dwarfs, the orange cards, very strong. If you can build up a good load of those, I've actually won a game with the orange dwarfs, but mainly because I also had this cheat hero where I could see who was bidding what at a time. So yeah, Mining Dwarfs is quite strong. So that's my top five of this month I've been playing on Board Game Arena. Most of these you can play without having beta. Lost Ruins of Arnak, I do believe you need to have beta access, which is actually quite easy to get on Board Game Arena. Once you played played a few games, I thought I'd work my way to alpha version of Board Game Arena, because I've now played nearly 60 different games and over 500 plays in different games, but now they've upped that ante to 750 plays of games. So now I'm working to a new challenge and getting to that. So let's see what happens for next month, whether I reach that level or not. Right, now we're going to look at Kickstarter games. And this is going to be off the cuff, So first of all, I'm going to start with my most obvious Kickstarter. Okay, so this is the Kickstarters, and since I last recorded, a lot has changed because it's practically nearly 2.5 weeks since I last recorded, and yeah, some of the Kickstarters I talked about are no longer active or relevant, really. So I'm going to quickly go through some more that I've got here. And the first one I'm going to talk to you about is the Marvel United X-Men expansion. So this is from Seamon Games. It has finished, but as you can see here on the video, you can lay pledge for it, and you get pretty much everything that was in the campaign for the same price. So if you feel like you missed out on this, you can go ahead and back it. You can also see here highlighted, it made nearly $6 million, which is actually Seamon's biggest campaign so far. And it's also the 8th biggest board game in Kickstarter of all time so far. So it's an amazing achievement for Seamon, I think. Yes, it does rely on an IP, and an IP that's very popular at the minute, and I also believe there's a lot that actually goes for this game. One, it's a cooperative game, and two, the miniatures, okay, very not really relevant, aesthetical, I don't know if that's a word, but they are not really needed in the game. But they make it, and I think because they use chibi models and they're really big, they're really chunky, they really have appealed to people to want to get this game and paint them, because, I mean, it is this new trend that has kicked off quite a bit, I believe. And from what I've seen already from the first campaign, as people just biting at the bit to paint these models, and I think this is going to be no different. Not only that, does this campaign actually thrive from the first campaign, because you can actually purchase most of the content from the first campaign, even getting the Kickstarter exclusives and the extras, On top of this, the only thing you couldn't get was the core game, which they are encouraging you to pick that up from a retailer that is supplying it. So they're kind of looking after retailers and, yeah, also looking after themselves in that kind of sense. So in this X-Men version, they changed up a few things. They changed the card for the heroes. They give them an extra power card, and I think that extra power card is even a starting card. And then also in this, they added, you can see here, purple characters. These purple characters are anti-heroes. So these are actually villains and heroes, and they come with their own set of cards. So you can actually choose to either fight against Magneto or have him on your team to fight against, I don't know, the Juggernaut or Mystique or that. So the box set comes with like the usual characters you would see. You got Wolverine, Professor Xavier, Jean Grey, Storm, Beast and Cyclops, and then alongside that you've got Magneto and Mystique as your anti-heroes or villains, and then you've got Juggernaut and Sabretooth as the villains. Comes with new challenges, and then there's these new challenges, supervillain and superhero challenges in this one, but it gets better and better. I mean, these are the exclusives, so you've got this exclusive villain team, Pyro, Blob and Toad to fight against, and then here it's all the extras. And you can see here they then started developing the models with these transparent plastic pieces, and it gets even better than that. It got to the point towards the campaign they made so much money that they were trying to make up more, not make up characters, but bring more characters into it to make up, where they were like, okay, we've run out of ideas, what else is there? So Cloak and Dagger was one of these characters. These were, they're two separate figures, but they work well together as a combo duo. They got their own figures, and but the figures actually work together as well. Marrow was the very last figure to be unlocked. I didn't quite do it, because she was like 6 million and 10, or 6.1 million. But because like we nearly made 6 million, they said, yeah, here you are, have it anyway. And then the last one of all was Mastermind in the villain side, which is quite cool. They gave us the X-Force expansion, and then it got down to, oh, the Apocalypse expansion was like kind of the first expansion they added on. And then they made Apocalypse an anti-villain, because he does become, or anti-hero, because he does become a hero later on in the comics. And then they got all the add-ons. So the Uncanny Pledge, you get all the expansions that they've included. So the core box, First Class, Horseman of the Apocalypse, Blue Team, Gold Team, Phoenix 5, Deadpool. You knew Deadpool was going to come. We didn't realize they were going to bring him out as an expansion. X-Force, Days of Future Past. You should see the models for this. And then Fantastic Four was the biggest surprise of all, because we didn't think that was going to come until the third season, but they released it as the very last expansion. These are the exclusive characters. If you get it all in pledge, you get all these characters, plus you get Old Man Logan. There is a lot of duplicate characters in this. So there's about four Wolverines, but they're in different forms. So you've got normal Wolverine, you've got Weapon X, you've got Old Man Logan, and you've got Days of Future Past Logan. So I should also state that each of these duplicate characters do come with their own set of cards that are unique for that character. So you're not doubling up on models and using the same cards. They have their own cards and their own powers going with it. These are the Sentinels in the Days of Future Past expansion. They are a challenge, not really villains, they're just an extra challenge on top. They are huge. They can literally, in the hand of this Sentinel, can hold the miniatures, and they can hold most of the miniatures in kind of different worms. I'm going to get down to what I think is really cool. So this is the one thing I want to show you on the Fantastic Four, even though it was a big surprise to come with it. What's really cool is Invisible Woman. They've partly done her body in this clear plastic part, and the rest of her body is normal. She's stood on the platform, So she does create these platforms that she's able to walk along to help her get across obstacles. And down here, they did actually highlight this is some kind of lava flow that she's using the platforms to step across. So that's quite cool. It's really quite ingenious how they've really thought about this expansion and how they could utilize the plastic in different ways and make it a bit more meaningful to the people that support it. And then Super Skull, he's got parts of everyone's powers from the Fantastic Four, and they've incorporated that onto his figure as well. So really, really clever. Really was excited about this expansion. I wasn't so excited about how much it was going to cost me, but why I did go for this is because X-Men was my thing when I got into comics back in the 90s. I'm just getting to the top again. Getting back into the 90s, I absolutely loved... I came across the cartoon on one Saturday morning, fell in love with it, thought it was brilliant. Then I actually same day discovered comic shop in my hometown, and I was amazed with all the comics and started buying as many comics as I could with my pocket money that was only from not pocket money paper money that was only from paper rounds. And then I actually fell into when they were doing the Age of the Apocalypse, and I was like, what's going on here? This ain't what I'm used to on the comics, onto the cartoons. But hey, you can't. It was great, because then I followed on for many years. I collected comics on the X-Men. So X-Men is my thing. I knew most, all 99% of all these characters they were bringing out. There was some random ones that were a little bit out there, but they did that in the first one. So this really appeals to me, and I really hopefully can get the first expansion painted before this arrives on my doorstep next year. The only downside to this Kickstarter was that beforehand they used to, Simon did a two-part delivery. So you could opt in to buy, have two deliveries, but you pay extra and you would receive the core set around about October, November time. And then you receive the rest of it on the delivery date of March-ish time. Or you opted for one delivery and you received all of it on the March date. On this one, they for the UK only, they've only said you can have one delivery. They're not doing a two-part delivery for UK. And it just comes down to Brexit. It's presented too many challenges for them, too many unknowns, and they couldn't guarantee what would happen. So until Brexit is cleared up a bit more and companies know what they're doing, they couldn't go with a two-part delivery, which is a shame. But never mind. It doesn't faze me. I'll just have to wait and get all of it at once. So I've got less than a year possibly to get all this through. So you can go ahead and pledge for this if you want it. I mean, you could buy $65 gets you the core set and all the stretch goals, which is over 40 characters extra. I mean, I lost count. There might be more. All the stretch goals and the exclusive team. $100 can get you the add-on Apocalypse, Horseman Apocalypse, so that extra expansion, and the Storm Mohawk. Don't forget, these also give you the X-Force expansion on top, so more stuff. Or you could go Fall In. And this is not everything. I mean, this is just basically expansions. It doesn't include plastic tokens, the mat, or cardboard stuff on it. But you go all in and get all this, which I might have done. I might not have done. Let's not talk to the wife about it, shall we? So, yes, that's my first one. I finished backing this month. I did back Canvas. The expansion. So I have got Canvas, the original one. I do enjoy it. It's actually a very pleasant game, and this expansion brings a lot more to it. It actually had reverse side plastic cards, so one side had a picture, you flipped it over and it's slightly different how the picture was presented in different ways. Very creative, very clever, brings new elements to the game. I just don't know whether they're going to do like a late pledge system to this or not, which is a shame, because I think they're missing out on some opportunities of people that missed out on the campaign and heard about it late, not getting on this. But they still did very well. They did a lot better than their first one, which is not a surprise. So I can't say go ahead and back this. You might just have to wait for this to come out in shops. The next one, now this is really cool, and this isn't the first one I believe they've done, is a advent calendar, escape room advent calendar. So play this in the background. Basically, this, the designer is talking about the advent calendar. So this is like your normal advent calendar. You would open doors and receive a gift, but in this case, you need to solve the puzzle and work out what door you need to open next to get to the next chocolate that might be behind the door. There's some meta games behind this. It seems like a really cool concept. The price is actually not too bad. It's, if I can get down to it, $15 will get you one of your choice of advent calendars. Plus, for the UK, it's only $5 delivery. And saying that, I've spent £20 on Lego advent calendars before for the kids, not for me, for the kids. So at this price, something that's a little bit kind of crazy, a little bit out there, gets your brain thinking. And they said these part puzzles are not too taxing. Some will, you will solve in 30 seconds, some might take you 5 minutes to do, but they're nothing too big, and there's actually little hidden bits all going on, all very clever and very fun. There's two different types of doing. Escape the Christmas closet. So basically you're an elf being told to tidy up this closet with all this stuff in it. So there's all hidden things going on. And then there's all wrapped up. As an elf, it is your job to wrap all the presents correctly. It turns out a piece of coal inside one of these presents, you will have to correct the error before Christmas, or they will never let you out of the workshop. Unwrap the presents one by one to find the piece of coal. So, and you also see here, it includes meta puzzle in it. You can, if you want to, get both for £30. And they actually have two other ones. Yeah, they also have other ones that you could, from last year, that you can actually add, put on as add-ons. So that's a pretty good advent calendar. So that's pretty cool. They've all funded, and they're hoping it will be at your house by November. So if you go over to GameFound now, you can actually go and get yourself a copy of After the Empire, which is actually a really cool worker placement battle or tower defense kind of game, where you're developing your castle and then stopping the hordes of enemies trying to break through to your castle. It came out on Kickstarter last year, done very well. It had lots of upgraded components. You can now buy the retail version. It's now out now, which is more or less the same. You're not missing out on content, you're just missing out on upgraded components. And this is what it is offering on GameFound now, is you can now buy the full upgraded version on this for about $120, $149 gets you all the upgraded stuff, the neon pre-mats, the plastic trays, the exclusive content you missed, which was like a figure or two, or you can buy the just the bog standard version, Kickstarter exclusive, which had upgraded components and things like that. So all the, in the retail version, it's just cubes for that represent like soldiers and things like that. But in this kind of version, all the cubes are actually miniature warriors and soldiers. So if you're not really bothered by that, just buy the retail version. And that's about it, I believe. Everyone, thank you for watching. Yeah, thank you for watching my videos. This is hopefully a very short video. And hopefully I can get this out quite quickly. If anything does crop up in the meantime, I might edit in as we go. Please like and subscribe to the channel. It all helps, builds up my reputation. Hopefully this month might slow down a bit and I can actually get some of the other content out that I promised you last month. So yeah, fingers crossed, slower month, easier month, saying that we'll hopefully be putting the house on the market this month. So it could just be just as crazy and chaotic. But thank you for watching. Enjoy your gaming of the month of May, and I'll catch up with you at the end of the month to find out what's going on with me. Goodbye now, and see you later.